Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Okay, hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast, iHeartRadio, 111 Productions, and we are here for Application Anxiety Pop Culture Minisode Season 3, Episode 3. And we have an exciting development here. We have a new team member named Tara Sudbach.
You almost got it. Tara.
Oh, no, I blew it. No, I'm so sorry. Oh, Tara. And I practiced this. Oh, where's my sledgehammer? I'm going to hit myself in the head. Tara Sudbach.
There you go.
Welcome to the crew here. We are so excited to, you know, I've heard so many great things about you from Amy and Danielle, and we are very excited to have you. We're very lucky to have you.
Oh, well, thank
Tara,
you.
Tell us about your love of Gilmore.
Yeah.
So I grew up watching Gilmore Girls with my mom, and actually one of the reasons why I went to journalism school was because of Rory.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's great.
Oh, that's
cool. I was very Rory growing up. Like, I always had a book with me. I was very quiet. And then I went to journalism school. And and then here I am.
Well, it's
full circle.
It's really fantastic. Great to have you. You've got big shoes to fill.
Little did you know that you would go to school to come back here and talk about the Brady Variety Hour,
That's right. I mean, you know. Tara, right, the Riley Palouse's chair was empty, and now you filled it beautifully.
It's still Tara.
It's still Tara. It's going to be like the ongoing joke. I feel it.
I thought I was going to butcher the last name, but no, I can't even say
Tara. You were so fixated on the last name.
I'd say that's the thing. Anyway.
Tara, and here's our job is just to make fun of you. And the audience doesn't like it. So they'll grow to love you more than they like us. And then we'll just make fun of you. And it's like what we're here for.
Perfect.
So good luck to you. We hope you blow it.
All right, Tara, take it away.
Alrighty, so we're going to start with that very first scene. And Rory says, did you see that TV Guide had this on their list of the worst 50 shows of all time? Lorelai says, I know. Who are they to judge? Rory says, I know it's on the top 50 best. Lorelai says, yeah, right after Holmes and Yo-Yo and Yeehaw Honeys. But Rory, get back here. They're now in clown suits and headed for the pool. So this is Lorelai and Rory watching the Brady Bunch Variety Hour.
Wow. Amy's favorite part of the show.
I literally loved this moment, which I said earlier in the week. It's like, I was a huge Brady Bunch. Like, I've seen every episode of the Brady Bunch 1,000 times. Then I think was the Brady Variety Hour, then the Brady Brides. Mm-hmm. And then it just continued. They came back again for like a Brady Christmas. Like, you just can never get rid of a Brady. But this was the worst of the Brady incarnations, right.
But you know what's fun and entertaining and nice to see? How these two girls, Lorelai and Rory, enjoy their lives. They're just watching a TV special and they're just enjoying their lives so much. And it makes it enjoyable for us.
Anyway. Tara, do you have any fun facts about the Brady Variety Hour?
I sure do. The Brady Bunch Variety Hour began as a 90-minute special featuring songs and skits. It aired on November 28th, 1976. This special led to the 8 additional 60-minute episodes named the Brady Bunch Hour. It was produced by Donnie and Marie producer Sid and Marty Croft.
Which is like crazy. Like, they were so major. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. No one bothered to seek approval from the Brady Bunch creator Sherwood Schwartz, who learned about it by seeing it in the TV Guide.
Oh, boy.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Also, what a name. Sherwood Schwartz.
That was who created the Brady Bunch.
He was
Gilligan's Island, I believe.
He was the top guy.
Totally. He was like the Aaron Spelling of the 70s.
He was a top guy.
And TV
or
Guide.
Maybe late 60s. I don't want to be in it.
And TV Guide named it the 4th worst show of all time.
What's the worst show of all time? We're going to have to look that up. And I was right, which I said in our episode earlier this week. Jan, Eve Plum, took a pass on this. And maybe she was the smart one.
Yeah.
Everybody else was there, but Eve Plum was like, nah.
And so also, fun fact, did you know the 2 finalists to get the role was Kathy Hilton, Paris Hilton's mom? Right?
Jan?
Yeah.
Jan?
Yeah.
Stop.
Out of 1,500 girls who auditioned to play Jan.
Stop.
Yeah.
Can you imagine auditioning for Jan and not getting it? You know what I mean?
Housewife of Beverly Hills. Paris Hilton's mom,
yes.
Kathy Hilton, yes. Auditioned for the Brady Variety Hour.
To play Jan.
That's hot, guys.
To play Jan.
That is
right?
So
and she was
hot.
The runner-up.
And she didn't get it.
Oh, my God. We need to get Kathy Hilton on immediately.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my God.
We need to get her on.
Oh, yes. Keep going, Tara. So far, you're off to an amazing start.
Okay, cool. All right, so we're going to move into the next scene when they're sitting in the kitchen. Rory says, let's see, drummer, the strong beat seeks band into the accelerators, the adolescents, the adverts, Agent Orange, the angelic upstarts, the agnostic front, Ash.
Oh, Lord. You're not going to go through all these bands, are you? We'll be here all day.
I mean,
that was the last one.
There's a lot. I feel like this episode was a lot of music, pop culture facts, too.
A lot of music.
I don't know one of those.
Me either. I never heard of one of those bands.
Me either.
Agent Orange, I've heard of. That's about it.
No, haven't heard a single one.
All right, let's just keep moving on then.
All right, so then Lane says, but this is the cut-down version. I mean, just from the letter A, I excluded AC/DC, The Animals, and Aha. But no, it's a guilty pleasure.
There you go. Heard of them.
So, more serious about the Harvard application questions when Lane goes back to the room. Then Lorelai says, so circle all of them except sports. Oh, they want a picture. How about the one of us sticking our heads through the carved out holes of Johnny Bravo and SpongeBob SquarePants?
Ugh. Wait a minute. Hang on. You skipped David Bowie and Jackson Brown?
Jackson Brown.
Come on, let's go to Bowie.
Okay,
come on,
okay.
Give Bowie his just desserts.
Okay, okay. So if we go back, Rory says, no, don't give up. Just cut down your influences to the most important ones, like with David Bowie.
Fun facts.
Fun facts. So David Bowie was an English rock musician and singer who had also worked as an actor, record producer, and arranger. David Bowie changed his name. His birth name is David Robert Jones, mm-hmm. so it wouldn't get confused with the Monkees' lead singer, Davy Jones.
Oh, Davy.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Also a shocking fun fact yep. I didn't know. Yes. Well done, Dora.
And he named himself after the Bowie knife because it cuts both ways.
That's right.
Now here's I did like the Jackson, because I am a fan of Jackson Browne.
Oh, me too.
And I don't hate Dr. My Eyes.
No, I don't either. I love it.
Me too.
I love that song.
So they kind of like ripped on Dr. My Eyes.
But it's like, this the Space Brown's Oddity like, fact, Tara, read that one, because that's news to me.
Yeah, this I didn't know either. So Bowie's song Space Oddity was used by the BBC in its coverage of the 1969 moon landing, instantly propelling the singer to fame.
Boom. Can you imagine having a song like that go viral? Man, and great song.
No, great but song. I like Running on Empty. I'm more of a Jackson Browne girl myself.
Yeah, no, he's great.
Yeah, he's great. Would take Jackson Browne, I think, music over David Bowie. I'm sorry, I know that's like...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry.
Rebel, it's Rebel?
No.
Come on.
No, I'm Jackson Browne. I am.
You know, I respect your opinion.
Thank you.
And your taste.
I respect yours. Anyone who likes Bowie, I get it. You get some cred.
Yeah.
What else you got, Tara?
All right. So one of his pupils was permanently dilated after
Bowie's.
Yeah. After his friend George Underwood punched him in the eye while the pair were still in school, and the fight was over a girl.
Hmm. No.
Yep. Yep, and the singer also started his own internet service in 1998 and called it BowieNet. It cost £10 a month and came with 20 megabytes for users to create their own homepage. BowieNet was in service until 2012.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm.
And the last Bowie fact for you is in 2004, Rolling Stone ranked him 39th on their list of the 100 greatest artists of all time and 23rd on their list of the best singers of all time.
Yeah, I'd move him up that list.
And a different list than where the Brady variety.
I'd move him up that list. He's in the top five. Dr. Ma.
All right. Should we jump to the Jackson Browne?
I think we've covered Jackson Browne.
Yeah. Okay.
We've done enough. Wasn't he married to, who's he married to though?
Right now?
It wasn't Daryl Hannah, was it?
No, Daryl Hannah's married to Neil Young.
Oh yeah. Who's
I'll
Jackson?
Tell you.
Jackson Browne.
Lynn Sweeney. Phyllis Major?
No one famous.
I went to a fundraiser down in Malibu at a big movie executive's house, and Jackson Browne was the entertainment. He was the band. I couldn't believe it. I was just like clutching onto my wife going, I cannot believe we're watching Jackson Browne right now. She had no idea who he was.
So I don't like to be right all the time.
Yeah.
Jackson Browne dated Daryl Hannah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She also dated JFK Jr. Continue.
Yeah, well, who didn't?
Oh, I didn't, and I would have loved to.
I was in New York at that time that he was on the rampage. When he was in a club, you left because you didn't have a chance.
I understand. You didn't because
no, you didn't.
He is beyond.
He was like Milo walking onto the set day one.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's like JFK walks into the restaurant. Just leave. Just pay your bill and leave. You know.
You might as well.
You just might as well get out of there.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the next scene, Lorelai says, so circle all of them except sports. Oh, they want a picture. How about one of us sticking our heads out through the carved out holes of Johnny Bravo and SpongeBob SquarePants?
So is Johnny Bravo on SpongeBob SquarePants?
No. So Johnny Bravo is an animated series on the Cartoon Network. And then obviously SpongeBob SquarePants was a cartoon on Nickelodeon.
Because that's not who Johnny Bravo is to me. Johnny Bravo, weirdly, was Greg Brady's alter ego in an episode of The Brady Bunch. But whatever. I'm sure the Johnny Bravo is the one you're talking about.
Yeah, well, he's definitely the one in the cartoon. Show is actually loosely based on Elvis, Danny Zuko from Grease, and James Dean.
No way.
Yeah, and in 2002,
Greg Brady.
And in 2002, Warner Brothers had secured the rights for a live-action Johnny Bravo film. They wanted Dwayne The Rock Johnson to play Bravo, and since then, it seems like the concept has dropped. But producers said that if they did make a Johnny Bravo live-action film, it would star Channing Tatum as Johnny Bravo.
Interesting. I don't see it.
I don't either.
Doesn't Johnny Bravo have, like, a lot of hair?
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
I'm just doing a deep dive on,
it's like,
I'm way down the wormhole on Greg Brady.
You
as
know
Johnny
what?
Bravo.
Okay.
Whatever.
Oh, I'll give it to them. Channing Tatum would work. Or John Cena.
I could see John Cena.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So more music pop culture. Lane says, I'm going to have to crank the Ramones if I have to make deep cuts.
Oh.
The Ramones was an American rock band that formed in Forest Hills, Queens, New York in 1974, often cited as the first punk rock group. The Ramones got their name from Paul McCartney's fake hotel check-in name. Bassist.
I was never into the Ramones.
I saw them at CBGB's in 1975.
You went to CBGB's. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I did. I saw a lot of people there.
Iconic. Sorry, Tara. This is what we do. We just interrupt you.
No, it's all good.
I saw Patti Smith there.
Patti Smith, the one from Scandal, or Patti Smith, the one that's like SMYTH, not the one married to John McEnroe.
No, Patti Smith. Patti Smith from Horses.
Right, but you know, Patti Smith. I think it was Smith. I don't know. Is married to John McEnroe,
right.
And
no,
she was in that band,
right.
Scandal.
No,
Goodbye to You.
No,
remember
this
that?
Is the punk rock goddess.
I know her. I know who.
Patti
I got
Smith.
It. I know who she is. I know who they both are.
I went up to her and I tried to audition for her band. I wanted an audition.
Oh.
And she, I don't know, I was a kid, and she just said, like, how old are you? didn't get the audition. What are you going to do? You try, right? You don't ask, you don't get.
The John McEnroe one could be named Smythe, because she's the S-M-Y-T-H-1. I think it is Patty Smythe. I think she's Smythe, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
All right. This one I actually didn't know. Dean says, this is when they're at breakfast at Luke's. Dean says, just my usual chores. Rory says, your usual chores, John Boy.
Oh, yeah, John
from
Boy.
From the Waltons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Dean says, well, what else?
The old people in the room got that one.
That was great. Thank you. Great, thanks.
So yeah, John Boy is a character from the TV show The Waltons, which tells the story of a farm family through the eyes of John Boy, the oldest son. And Rory refers to him as John Boy, as John Boy was the oldest son with lots of chores and responsibilities around his house and farm.
I never really watched The Waltons, but I did know the reference. I never got into it.
You know, at the end of each episode, they all said goodnight to each other.
Goodnight, yeah. Goodnight, John Boy. Goodnight, and Dad. They just brought the Waltons back on the CW.
Did they really?
I think we mentioned that.
Really?
So let's move on to the next one, when they are at the seminar, Paris and Rory. So Paris says, I was working with the losers in the AV club to project it on a giant video screen. And all Mr. Hunter said was, Paris, this isn't the Beatles at Shea Stadium. Nice anachronism, huh? Like they have
easy for you to say.
Like they have video screens in 63. His reference are the topical as topical as his suits. So this is actually the second mention of the Beatles at Shea Stadium in the show. The first time was in season 2, episode 21, Lorelai's graduation. And it was when she was complaining about studying for her finals in the beginning of the episode. And Lorelai says, oh, Rory, my brain is full. It's reached capacity. It's Shea Stadium when the Beatles played.
Mm.
Yeah. The concert itself was a milestone in popular music history as the first major stadium concert. In 1970, John Legend recalled the show as a career highlight at Shea Stadium. I saw the top of the mountain.
John Legend or John Lennon?
Did I say John Legend?
You said John Legend.
John Lennon.
In 1970, I don't know that John Legend was born.
John Lennon. And in 2008, Paul McCartney played the last concert at Shea Stadium with Billy Joel before the stadium was closed.
That is interesting. I saw Paul McCartney at my school at Berkeley.
What?
He played in the football stadium. Yeah, it was pretty
really?
Rad.
When?
Mm-hmm. I mean...
Was that with Wings, his band Wings?
I think it was probably in the 90s.
Paul McCartney and Wings?
No, it was just Paul McCartney, but he played in the football stadium. And it was very rad. And I think it was in the 90s.
Jesus, that must have been something.
It was rad. I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
I've seen Paul McCartney a few times.
Wow.
I don't want to brag, but I have. Go ahead, Tara. You're doing great.
Thank you.
It was in 1990. I'm looking it up. I think it was in 90.
I saw Patti Smith at CBGB's.
You married to John McEnroe?
Does anybody care?
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The next one is Lorelai being led into Emily's house. She says, yeah, she had a thing after school, a rumble or something. She said she'd be over after. Emily says, a rumble. Lorelai says, yeah, a bunch of kids meet in the alley. They pirouette. They pull knives. It's a whole to-do.
That's a funny line.
That was a good one. And it's the second reference of West Side Story in Gilmore Girls. The first one was in season 2, episode 16, There's a Rub, when Jess says, okay, I'm going. Look, man, I really was just dropping off some food, so don't get all West Side Story on me, okay?
Yeah, I remember that. That was a great episode.
Yeah.
I've never seen West Side Story.
I haven't either.
What? Really?
Have you, Daniel? No. I never saw the old one or the new one. None of them.
I have.
I've seen the original one a bunch of times. I think Rita I saw Moreno? Them at CBGB's.
Rita Moreno. She's 90. She's amazing. Hit it, Tara. This is your moment. This is where you don't let the pauses happen.
Okay. All right. Let's keep moving.
She's new, guys. She's new.
All right. So let's move on to the next one. Emily says, and now it's the thing. It's the in thing for young Hollywood celebrities to go to universities. What do you call themselves? The Brat Pack? Lorelai says, about 100 years ago. Emily then says,
Who is your favorite Brat Packer?
Oh, gosh. Like,
Rob Lowe is probably my favorite Brat Packer.
I feel like.
Who were they? Was it Molly?
Oh, my God.
Molly Rob Shannon? Lowe. Molly Shannon? No, Molly Ringwald. So sorry.
Nope. And she wasn't really, well, she was kind of in it. You go, Tara. Name them for us.
So on our list, says there were young actors in the 80s, including Rob Lowe, Ali Sheedy, and Emilio Estevez. Yeah, right.
And Demi Moore was in there in the Brat Pack. Judd Nelson. It was kind of the St. Elmo's Fire group. And I don't know why they got that name. It's kind of like they just did. I think some magazine article named them that. But I kind of love Rob Lowe still. I do. It's aging like a fine wine.
All of them are. Demi Moore. Jesus.
Yeah. The Brat Pack. I love it. Because it was like a play on the Rat Pack. I think they did some interview for St. Elmo's Fire and the magazine called them the Brat Pack. I was in that. That was my heyday. That was when I was like a teen.
I just heard that theme song on the radio. The Brat Pack theme song. Yeah.
The Brat Pack?
It was very emotional. It evoked a lot of emotion.
Is there a theme song? Or are you talking about the St. Elmo's Fire theme song?
St. Elmo's Fire. Yeah. St. Elmo's
Fire. I can't do it. Wait. Yeah. However it goes. David Foster did that.
It's kind of orchestrated. Oh, I just saw a documentary on David Foster.
It's a good documentary. So the Brat Pack was Emilio Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall, Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy. Oh, I forgot Andrew McCarthy. Demi Moore, Jed Nelson, Molly Ringwald, and Ally Sheedy. And I love it. Mm-hmm. And it was a New York Magazine cover. Sorry, Tar, I took your thunder.
She's ready to swallow her gum. Go ahead.
No, there was one more part to that. Right after Emily says, they get into wherever they want based on name recognition. I was watching TV and that insipid Kate Hudson was talking about going to a university. If she decides to go to Harvard, she'll get in over Rory, who we know is more qualified.
Fabletics.
I love Kate Hudson. Girl can sing.
Yep. And also she's the daughter of Goldie Hawn and Bill Hudson, but calls Kurt Russell her dad.
Yep. Pa. She calls him Pa. Her brother is Oliver Hudson.
All right. So let's move on to the next one. So this is back to Lane taking calls in response to the ad. So yep. Lane says, I mean, I contend that you can draw a straight line from yes to Jethro Tull to the Jam to Nirvana.
They can bungle in the jungle.
Bing. This episode had like 412 music.
I know. There's so many.
Like, we would be here till next Tuesday if we just kept doing things.
Accelerators, the Adolescents, the Adverts, Agent Orange, the Angelic Upstarts, the Agnostic, Front, Ash. All punk bands were formed in 76 to 92. The Accelerators from Raleigh, North Carolina. The first hit song is Boy and Girl. The Adolescents are from Fullerton, California. They established a punk band scene in Southern California. Their hit song Amoeba was released in 1981. The Adverts were an English punk band formed in 1976. Broke up in late 1979. Their top song was Gary Gilmore's Eyes. In 1978, I think he was a serial killer. Agent Orange was top song was a Bloodstains. Angelic Upstarts were called one of the period's most politically charged and thought-provoking groups. Their debut song, The Murder of Little Towers. Little Towers. One of the Agnostic Front's most popular song was called Gotta Go. Ash had a platinum-selling UK number one album, 1977, spawned the hit single Petrol, Kung Fu, Girl from Mars, Angel and Scepter, Goldfinger, and Oh Yeah, AC/DC, The Animals, and Aha. AC/DC, Australian rock band formed from 1973 by brothers Malcolm and Angus Young. If you've ever seen them live, good God, they're the best live band rock and rolling in the world. Researchers are using AC/DC Thunderstruck to help combat cancer in Australia. University of Southern Australia found a boy playing the song while patients are going through chemotherapy. The vibrations move the particles carrying the chemo drug to bounce. Hell yeah, they bounce, which improves delivery to the cancer cells. How cool is that? The Animals were an English music group of the 1960s, formed in Newcastle. Andy Summers, who joined the New Animals in 1968, later joined the Police. None of their songs were used in any type of medical procedures, except for relaxation and maybe some sexual situations. Aha, normally spelled entirely in lowercase, was a new wave synth pop band from Norway. Aha had released Take On Me 3 times before it became a hit. Take on me, take on me, take me on, take me on. Sorry. That will not be used in any medical procedure, but you may need to get a medical procedure to recover from that. David Bowie. David Bowie was an English rock musician, a singer who has also worked as an actor, record producer, and arranger. It's David freaking Bowie. We know who he is. David Bowie changed his name. His birth name was David Robert Jones, so it wouldn't get confused with the Monkees lead singer, Davy Jones. Hey, hey, it's a Monkees. It's the last train to Clarksville. Anyway, those are Monkees songs. Sorry about that. He named himself after the Bowie knife because it cuts both ways. Bowie's song Space Oddity was used in the BBC and the coverage of the 1969 moon landing. I saw that from the basement of my home in Maryland, instantly propelling the singer to fame. One of his pupils was permanently dilated after his friend George Underwood punched him in the eye while the pair were still at school. The fight was over a, yes, you guessed it,
a girl. The singer started his own internet service in 1998 and called it BowieNet. It cost £10 a month and came with 20 megabyte for users who create their own homepage. BowieNet was a service until 2012. I think he also sold shares in his music catalog. In 2004, Rolling Stone ranked him 39th on their list. 39th? Are you kidding? How about number one, Rolling Stone? Of the 100 greatest artists of all time, 23rd on the list of the best singers of all time. 23rd? Wow, what a slap in the face. Anyway, then Lorelei said, what's with Jackson Browne making the list? Lane, oh, see, cool people. He's more than a mellow, hippy-dippy, folky, and he's actually wrote some of Nico's best songs. That was, in fact, her lover before he bored us with Dr. My Eyes. That will separate the posers from the non-posers. I have to take issue with Lane here. Jackson Browne is a brilliant songwriter, singer-songwriter. Dr. My Eyes was not a boring song. It was a massive hit. It was bouncy, and it made people very happy. Dr. My Eyes, what you see, fantastic song. Great singer, great songwriter. Thank you very much.
How many more do you have?
I have a couple, but I can skip down to the last one.
Let's give a good one. Give me a good one.
Okay, so Rory says, you're no Danny Gans. So Danny Gans was a comedian, impressionist, and entertainment staple in Las Vegas. Rory refers to Lorelei as Danny Gans because his mother's impression of Rory was not good. He was voted Entertainer of the Year in Las Vegas for 6 years and reportedly had a multi-year contract worth $150 million. Wow. He turned down many TV offers to stay close to his family.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to give you a B+.
Okay, I'll take it.
Honestly, I'm impressed, Tara.
Yeah, you'll be welcomed back again.
Okay, good.
I'd say my only criticism is very long. Very lengthy. Well, it was not totally your fault.
It was the episode with all the
pressure. Not your fault.
It was... You know, Dan Palladino laid down the gauntlet with the music.
I mean,
wow. I think Tara, an auspicious debut. Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah.
I really think you did great. Bravo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can I just add one more thing to this pop culture episode?
Yes.
Because I forgot to do it earlier this week. 1940 Clown Pillow.
Oh,
wait. I totally missed it. I was much more obsessed with the star lamp that was in Richard's library den, wherever they went when Rory and Lorelei had their freak out about college. There was a lamp that looked like it had stars on it. I was into it.
I have a few notes.
You do?
It's visible in the very first shot of the episode, the clown pillow.
Oh.
Yeah, it is. It is. Very first shot.
So they're watching Brady Variety.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
So that'd be zero
something, and, but also 1940.
Right.
For those and counting.
I also wondered why there was a coffee cart outside of Miss Patty's. That was one of
I know. Notes. You've been upset about that all
I wouldn't sorry. Stand, Luke wouldn't stand for that kind of foolishness.
Yeah. It looked delicious to me.
And Luke's is definitely open because that's when we see Dean and Rory walking in and the open sign is clearly visible. Okay. So... Ugh. Also, while Lane and Dave Rogalski are talking on the park bench, watch Lauren, Melissa, and Jackson standing on the other side of the bushes. So instead of pretending to talk in the background, they're just standing there waiting for their cue. And Lauren's even fixing her hair.
No.
Yes. And then when Lane stands up, Melissa starts her lines like they've been having a conversation.
Danielle, can we try to circle that for the Instagram?
Yeah.
Juicy.
Yes.
And I forgot earlier in the week to mention how funny it was, Trixie and Bambi. We never mentioned that.
Right, so. Right. And there's give a shout out to the prop department. There was a nice attention to detail next to the park bench and the statue with a plaque that reads Stars Hollow 1779, Stele Caverna. And I think that translates into Star's Cave, but close enough. Anyway, props to the props guys. So there you go.
Props to the props guys.
Props to all of us. See you guys next week.
All right. Thank you so much, Tara. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Can't wait
to keep you for now.
Can't wait to jump off of more episodes with you. And thank you, Danielle and Amy. Love and adore you. And
love and adore you back.
Thank you, everybody, for downloading, and all the best to you. Best fans on the planet with the best emails, the best comments. We hear you, and you are a large part of this, forming this, and we want to make sure that you know that we're listening. Okay? Love you, and we'll see you next time. Stay safe. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
All summer, the best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.